Welcome to the Beauty Revival Podcast, where you're taken on a journey of miracles, transformation, and radical beauty inside and out. I'm your host, MB York. I'm a celebrity makeup artist, esthetician, former spa owner, and product developer. This isn't just another beauty podcast. This is a movement. I'm bringing you my best anti-aging, beauty, skincare, and makeup tips, but we're going way deeper. From Hollywood sets to the supernatural, from breaking free of toxic relationships to unlocking the divine power within you, this is where beauty meets faith and transformation begins. Say goodbye to society's toxic traps and hello to God's mission for your life. So if you're ready, hit play and let's get started. So welcome back. I am going to pick back up with my biographical story, which for some reason, this episode has been a lot more work when you're trying to summarize a lot of years and do it in a way that's authentic and protects privacy. It's a challenge, but I want to be as authentic as I can so you guys can come on this journey with me. So, as I stated before, the surface of my life really looked perfect. We were members of multiple really beautiful country clubs. We had amazing luxury cars. We were on magazine covers and had multiple homes and real estate. And it all just was crumbling down. I had built up all the success in the beauty industry, you know, having been on HSN and had 10 years at this point of owning my spas. And we had some really beautiful years over in San Diego when my daughter was born. I mentioned before I had to travel back and forth a lot to my spas in Arizona, but obviously having the new focus of my daughter was amazing. And again, luckily, we had the financial means to have help with a nanny and obviously not having to worry about a roof over our heads while I was worrying about my business. And I just wanted to mention, I always kind of stayed detached from the money. I never chased after money per se. I always had goals and I always had big goals, but it wasn't about making X amount of dollars. And overall, I'm a pretty conservative person. I remember right around this time, I went to London. I was on a shopping channel there and my husband went with me. And we had wanted to go to Harrods, was one of the places. And basically, Harrods, the whole thing was either juicy couture or really high-end stuff. And even though we could easily have afforded anything I wanted, in my mind, my headspace was I was really worried about my business because I had had some big challenges, which I'll briefly tell you about. But my headspace was not in buying luxury, you know, couture. So my ex, who never told me not to do anything, was like, I can't believe you're not buying anything. And I just felt like, again, I didn't want any juicy couture and I did not see the value in a $2,000 skirt. So again, even when we could afford something, it doesn't mean I was a big consumer. You know, if I bought something special for myself, I felt like I had to earn it. And I have so many stories of winning legal battles. And, you know, those are the times I would go maybe buy a Louis Vuitton bag. It was after overcoming something that was very difficult and I wanted a symbol that I had earned it. So that's just my mentality. But during the same time, this was around the 2008 real estate crash and my husband was in real estate and we had had many ups and downs over the years, so many, and we had worked so hard to really get to a point of where we were. And we had missed so many opportunities over the years too, with the market going up and down, that when everything was great, where we had the funds to really invest, it just seemed like a no-brainer because nobody saw 2008 coming. So at the time, we had, you know, a couple houses. We had a place in San Diego. We had a big lot in a really high-end development, as well as our beautiful contemporary house that was featured in Cool Homes segments on TV and on the cover of magazines. And but again, because I had lived without having those things and then having had those things and seen the ups and downs, I felt like it wasn't my identity. And as hard as it was to lose a lot of material things, like who I am did not change. And obviously, security is important, and there's no better feeling than having security. But the idea that, you know, you have to have these things or your life is shit is not how I view things. Again, it was more about, you know, all of the transitions that we went through. Obviously, we ended up getting a divorce around this time too. And it really was a feeling of, well, both of us, I think, just had gotten extremely unhappy. I was unhappy because HSN was extremely difficult. It was a Monday through Friday job, keeping up with all their requirements. And I had the perfect storm where a company delivered 20,000 pieces of rock hard eye cream. I don't know if I mentioned this in the first episode. Sorry, I've been doing a lot of other interviews lately. And sorry to repeat it, but it was really horrible and nobody would take responsibility for it. And it caused me a lot of repercussions with air dates with HSN. I had really geared up after 4 years of being on there of some big holiday events coming up. And this really, really put a wrench into everything. And I wanted my husband's help, you know, to kind of step in and get behind me. But he was, by his own words, he had nothing left to give because what he was dealing with his own business. He was an employee, but he was overseeing several different real estate developments and traveling Monday through Friday, which that went on probably the last 3 years of our relationship, which certainly helped nothing. I remember being at the company's Christmas party. Maybe it was while we were separated and I still went. And at the end of the year, they show the people in the company that have died. And I felt like saying they should put up photos of families that are destroyed because they require you to be gone as much as he was. It really led to him being unhappy. His own words, you know, he just felt super imbalanced and he would come home on the weekend and I would just get out of his way because I felt like I had all week to take care of my stuff. But he wasn't in the headspace to hear about my crumbling empire, and it wasn't an empire, but my crumbling business, my stresses, which were absolutely huge. And it was a lot to handle by myself. So I did end up settling with the one company. And again, it's another episode, which I'll go into because I refused to give up and I did win and did not cave in to all the attorneys and everything else. But in the meantime, again, it was this outer perception that we have it all. But, you know, underneath it, I was crumbling and my ex was crumbling because he was working so hard and everything fell apart. It was just one thing after another where we had to just start selling off things and taking big hits of what we were losing. And, you know, it wasn't some big, huge fight. It wasn't anything scandalous. We just drifted apart and it was super sad and we were still very attached. We actually stayed living in the same house for like a year afterwards. Not that we were healing from anything. We were just surviving. And again, it was like a lot of silent grief, keeping up appearances and, you know, holding everything together with a smile. So, you know, I remember at this one point, and I believe it was coming out of HSN when I was realizing that everything was crashing, because every time I felt like they would set me up to fail. And I'm going to do an episode just on my experiences there. But I remember how hard I had worked to get on there and how hard I had worked to stay on there and how I was always successful. And any time that there was issues were all the outer people and things that I had to count on would let me down. And I remember getting this fortune cookie and it said something along the lines of, it's time to go when your best isn't good enough. And I remember thinking, what? Like, no, because I'm an idealist. I'm an optimist. I don't give up. I'm like, there's no way this is falling apart. Even though the challenges were huge, I just was like, certainly I'll turn it around. But the odds were stacked against me. The deck was stacked against me. And I saw that crumbling. And to be honest, you know, looking back, I'll always say to the most successful I ever was, the busiest I ever was in those regards, was also the most unhappy that I was. The amount of corporate stuff I had to do and all the things that would go wrong. And the same with my spas, as much as there was a lot of really fun elements, the managing employees, the amount of things in a day that I would have to deal with, I just felt like every time I opened up a box from UPS, it was the wrong stuff. And I'm like, it's hard to stay positive and happy when you're in that environment. And the last 3 years, I really did build my spas up to where I can just pop in. And I had a great staff. I finally learned how to train people and hire them young and grateful and sweet. And that was amazing. But after 10 years of doing that, I was so done. It was so seasonal where I was. And I was ready for the next thing. And it's funny, I started getting into writing at that time. And I wrote a screenplay called Survival of the Prettiest. And I actually pitched it in Hollywood. And the tagline was celebrity makeup artist MB York climbs the ladder of the beauty industry, fighting the war against wrinkles, but finds true meaning fighting the meat industry instead. And it was my vegan story, and it was really great. It was kind of like Legally Blonde meets Fast Food Nation. And I had so much fun pitching it. I took a lot of classes, and I would get so lucky. I felt like it was the universe or God saying, like, go this way, go this way. I would win like every door prize, you know, and I just absolutely loved it. We would have pitch classes where we would have to go around a table and pitch our movie to people and then listen to them pitch theirs to you. And it's really difficult to do. And I learned so much from it. And then I did pitch my movie several different times at different conferences with the producers. And I had a lot of interest in my screenplay. I literally had 2 years of meetings with some very big name companies. And I was offered a reality show at the time. And I didn't do it. I just did not want to go down that Kardashian kind of route. And I really was holding out for my screenplay. But I was thinking today, and I got such confirmation that I should bring this up, that, you know, whenever you're pitching a movie, you have to show the arc of the character. And in all my pitch meetings, you know, they would ask, how does each character in the movie is supposed to have that come to Jesus transformation in the end, or whatever you want to call it. In my case, it really is that. But, you know, that's where I would get stuck, is the story was so great and I tidied everything up really great at the end. But I was lacking that before character, who MB York was to who she was at the end. I felt like she was the same. And I was like, am I too close to this? Why can't I get over this hurdle? But now I know, and it's because I hadn't made this transformation yet. Like, now it's super clear to me. But then I just was like, you know, it was nothing but a wall. So that project got kind of put on the shelf, along with several books that I started to write. And again, I have several in the shoot, and they've evolved and changed along with how I have. And I've always just been super cautious about what I put out there because I don't want to mislead other people. And as much as I'll say I'm only going to speak of the truth, I want to make sure that it is the truth and that I'm not listening to some false teacher and going down another path and then bringing other people down a wrong path. And Hey, real quick, if you're loving the tips and stories I'm sharing, you've got to check out the beauty products I've created. These aren't just any products. My beauty ammo kit has been used on Hollywood sets and on shows like Dancing with the Stars, and my Paint by Number eyeshadow kit was featured twice on the Today Show, and it was a 5-star customer pick on HSN. I'm offering them as a bundle for just $99 to my Beauty Revival launch listeners, and it is $155 value. If you're looking for lifted skin, brighter eyes, and that youthful glow, my magical trio is your new best friend, featuring the fan favorite Lift and Snap Serum, my Unpack Your Bags Eye Gel, and the Marine Magic Moisturizer. Oh, and don't miss my Supernatural Brow product. It helps them get thicker with castor oil, and it's really easy to use. And if you want the most flattering, shimmery lipstick ever, Capri is it. Inspired by my travels and looks stunning on absolutely everyone. Head to mbyork.com to shop all of my best sellers. I even bundle them in kits to keep it easy. That's mbyork.com. The link is in the show notes. It's time to get glowing. There's been something in my spirit that kept me from releasing, for example, a Hay House book that I was close to doing, a lot of stuff on manifestation and things that are absolutely valid and that I did and I want to share eventually, but I learned it was not the right way to teach it or to present it, and it was missing some very important pieces. So again, I do try to speak with intention that I'm influencing people by what I'm saying, and I want to be a positive, truthful, good influence. So back to, I went off on all these writing conferences and animal rights conferences and have another book, Scared Skinny, Overcoming the Epidemic of Fat in America While Saving the World, and started Meatless Mondays in Arizona, and I was really on that whole thing, which I still am, and I'm still going to bring out that book, but now it's just going to come from a different foundation. And so back to losing the dream and binding the rubble. So yeah, divorce, single parenting, business pressure, no backup. These were all the things I was facing. And this is kind of personal, but after almost 20 years of being married, I only got 3 years of alimony, which did not bother me at the time because I always depended on my own self, my own business. I didn't even tap into our marital funds for stuff. Like, my ex did handle most of the expenses, but I felt like that was money for our future. And I felt like I had to fund everything through my businesses to be successful. And that probably wasn't the best viewpoint, but I always was independent like that, even when I was married. And I just figured things are going to turn around. And I wasn't counting on him paying me, you know, because I felt like I was perfectly capable of taking care of myself. But as years went on, I really realized that was not fair because my ex-husband ended up having to leave the country. He had to leave the state. And I did not have the same freedom to go travel. And nor did I want to be honest. You know, my daughter really needed me. She was going through a lot because of all of this too. And it was hard enough for her to be missing her dad. I felt like she didn't need to be missing me too. So I always put her first. I have no regrets about that. I did not miss a thing. I would pick her up from school, drive her to school, would not be on the phone when she's in the car. Like, I really took our time together seriously. And she was, you know, my biggest business was being a mom. And it was hard, though, to see other friends who went through divorces that never worked, that got alimony for life. So it's weird, the legal system, how you're pretty much penalized, you know, because it doesn't, you can't redo that 3 years later if your alimony's out or you're, yeah, and all of a sudden circumstances are completely different. You're raising the child 100% on your own. Like, it doesn't matter. So you know, it just made it difficult for me to go on the road and do all the spa conventions. And the last spa convention I did, I actually brought her with me, Ellie with me, and she was always with me at stuff, and I loved it. She loved it. And I think she was around maybe 12 at the time. I took her with me to a trade show I did in Orlando, and I didn't think that it would be a problem because you see kids, you know, at the trade shows, and she was mature enough to help me like run up my sales. And there was all kinds of beauty, you know, vendors there. I thought it would be fun for her. She could run around and buy stuff. And I had hired someone else too. I don't remember all the details, but it was a huge drama where like the federale of the convention surrounded our booth, you know, halfway through the day and insisted that my daughter had to get out of this, the whole convention, and said she wasn't allowed to be in there because she was under 18. And I'd even gotten it approved when I got our badges. I talked to the girl because it never dawned on me. And I said, is it going to be okay? And she said, don't worry about it. So that was horrifying. She had to like wait in the, what do you call it? Like the lobby for me. I had like a line of people waiting to pay. And again, I was just jamming at this show. And yeah, for some reason, I'm the one that was targeted to throw my daughter out. Yeah, it was so incredibly upsetting. But that was just, yeah, part of being a single mom and trying to make the most of it. And again, there was also a lot of gossip that went on that was really intense because my ex and I had been on all these magazine covers together and kind of lived this high profile life in North Scottsdale where we were, that made it super weird with dating after we separated and divorced. So for me, I just didn't want to date anyone who knew my past or was connected to my ex in any way, especially in the country club circles. It just felt too exposing. I'm a really private person, and I didn't want my personal healing process to be anyone's gossip, even though clearly it was. There was a season where someone I knew did end up dating my husband, and it stirred up a lot, not just for me, but for our daughter. And people reached out. There was a lot of like social media contributions, and it just felt like everything that should have been kept sacred was made public before the dust had even settled. So I think that made it way harder than it needed to be. And I just saw firsthand how rushing into new relationships, especially when kids are still adjusting, can cause more harm than good. In my opinion, it's just a flawed premise. And I'm not just talking about my own situation. I've seen this over and over with other families too, when new partners expect to be prioritized over the kids, or when the blending happens too fast, kind of like a shake and bake family, it rarely ends well. And it creates confusion and resentment. And I just feel like everyone really needs to be considered and on board for it to be successful. So look, I know some therapists teach that the new relationship should come first, but I strongly disagree. I feel like children, especially of divorce, they need to feel secure and like they're prioritized, especially when you're going back and forth and you only have limited time with that parent. So for me, you know, I've always said if I truly love someone and their child didn't like me, I would do everything I could to win them over. And if I couldn't, I'd be willing to walk away because I don't want to be the source of pain in a family. And it's not love. I feel like it's ego, and anything built on top of that kind of fracture is starting from dysfunction, not blessing. So today I can sing this from a place of peace because God has truly rebuilt me, and I've stepped out of toxic patterns, walked away from relationships and environments that didn't honor who I am, and I've protected my peace at all costs. And now I'm just a different person because I know what my worth is, and not because of what I went through, but because of what I learned going through it, because God walked through it with me. And when I go back to my movie and who's the after and the before and after of NB York, the after person is somebody that knows her worth outside of performance. And I really did feel like I had to perform and prove myself and, you know, work so hard to prove myself. And now I know that God loves me and that's enough. And God is my source, not my alimony, not my business. It's God. And I have story after story after story after story of how he always came through for me. And that's been one of the biggest blessings of not having a job, not having, you know, fixed income, is I'm always just sitting here waiting for God to do everything. And, you know, even when there's mistakes, like he turns it around. And sometimes it takes a while. It may take a long while, but I've seen it happen enough times to know if I haven't seen it yet, it's just because he hasn't done it yet. And his time is perfect. So I have grown so much as a person by breaking off a lot of the toxic society chains and a lot of the things I was doing, the people I was friends with, the drinking at happy hour. It's just a substitute. You're looking for connection, and it's just a substitute for having real connection with yourself. And just the environment of the area that I live in, it's very, very heavily a happy hour, toxic drinking type of culture. And it's great to have a glass of wine and get that instant calm. It really can become an issue if you're turning to it over and over again to replace doing the work that you need to do yourself as a person. And it took several years of me just completely isolating. And every now and again, I would break down and go meet someone for happy hour or go to a dinner. And I'm not saying it was horrible or I wouldn't turn into some crazy drunk, but it just would always revalidate the emptiness of the connections of the people that I was with, or just the whole experience as a whole. When you're surrounded by drunks or, you know, spending way too much money for something, it's hollow, it's empty. And now I'm just very calculated with my time. And if I do go out, I scan the energy of places. I can literally feel it and see what is a place that would feel good. But again, anytime I resist and instead just stay home, I'm always so glad that I did, because I'm productive. Like right now I'm working on what my mission is. And there's, you know, so much confidence that comes from being a voice of authenticity, courage, and alignment. And I feel like the world is really needing this right now. And I've just been noticing a lot of other people out there that have the same type of, you know, tone. For example, Kirstie Flaw, who interviewed me for her Flawsome Talk, she's the celebrity reporter that's been calling out Blake Lively. And she just launched a second new podcast where she's talking about just the flawed premise of beauty in Hollywood. And The Nerve by Maureen Callahan, I think her name is, Megyn Kelly brought her on to her network. And I'm loving all of her podcasts because she's just calling people out, like for having no substance and for expecting everyone to worship them because of whatever rich guy, which famous guy they happen to be sleeping with. And they don't mince words on those channels, so be prepared. But I do feel like that my biggest gift that I have is my voice. And I'm always the person that people call when they have a problem. And I give really good advice because I'm very connected, I feel, to the truth. And I give them formulas of how to pray and how to use their word and how to not be a victim and how to be empowered and how to overcome the things that I've overcome. So I'm super excited to keep sharing and keep teaching if you're there for it. And I've also heard that statement before, like when you're ready, the teacher appears. Like I may not be for everyone, but there may be someone that's right there needing to hear what I have to say. And so I feel like I've consumed enough content and it's time for me to just start churning it out. So again, true fulfillment isn't in the dream. It's in who you become after it breaks. So thank you so much for listening. That's a wrap on today's episode of Beauty Revival. Remember, true beauty starts in the mind and spirit. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. If today's message spoke to you, share this episode with a friend who needs a little beauty revival in their life. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It helps more women just like you step into their God-given glow. For more inspiration, beauty tips, and faith-fueled empowerment, connect with me on Instagram at mbyork.beauty and check out my website, mbyork.com. Until next time, stay radiant, stay revived, and let's glow.